Welcome to a special edition of Digital Outbox, the iPad. Hello. So we've all just watched the iPad launch, and since we've talked about it every week for the last, 6 months, we thought we'd do a quick special. Joining me is Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hello there, good evening.
And it's Return of the Shack. Hi, Shack.
Evening.
So, that was an hour and a half show that took forever. All I was going to do was rattle through the specs as it kind of came out of the show, and we'll just throw in some comments as we go.
Yeah, I think this our job is to take the pain out of watching that whole thing for people who haven't watched it, basically.
Come on, all the geeks have watched it.
Well, yeah, you're right. So, we might have an occasional non-geek listening, you never know.
Nah. So it's called an iPad. It's like a big flat iPhone.
Which, iPad, sanitary towel? A little bit. I don't know, for me.
You've been dying to say that.
I have.
It looks, although the screen looks big, it looks pretty teeny tiny. Half inch thin, 1.5 pounds, 9.7 inch screen.
Yeah, do you think it does look tiny? Because thinness. Yeah, sorry, yeah. Yeah. And thinness, it's still pretty sleek, yeah.
It's got quite a large sort of surrounding thing, hasn't it, around the screen.
So you can grab it?
Yeah. So I think it's probably bigger than what you'd expect for a 10-inch screen.
Yeah.
Just because of the bezel, I'd say.
Yeah. Certainly bigger than the kind of netbook would look, you know, a 10-inch netbook. Because it has got I'd say it's a good inch round surround, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
And it looks squarish.
Definitely not 16:9, is it?
No. It looks quite squarish, which makes me think, you know, if you're watching 16:9 content, you're definitely going to have black borders.
Yeah, well, they showed it on the...
Yeah,
on the,
yeah, they're talking about just double tap to zoom in and lose all the widescreen greatness.
Yes, because they showed, what was it, Star Trek or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it had massive black border at top and bottom to fit it in widthways.
Yeah. Now, I guess one other thing where we're talking about screen, and I've picked this up from a tweet, so I might be wrong, the resolution is 1024x768.
Which sounds woefully poor.
is it really for a screen that small?
Even 10-inch netbooks are a bigger resolution than that. But that would be the right shape.
Okay. I don't know if that's going to affect it when we look at it as an e-reader. We'll come on to that anyway.
Yeah.
I guess another first, it's their own silicon inside called the A4.
I didn't see that one coming. Did anyone else?
Well, there was some rumour sites predicting it because they bought that, was it PA Semiconductors last
That's
year?
That's the one,
bought?
Yep.
So I think there was a feeling that this was going to be the time to actually introduce their own silicon. And you do wonder now, does that mean, you know, some iPhone hardware this year or iPod touch hardware this year? Is that going to have its own silicon as well?
Certainly makes sense. It'll be a lot cheaper than buying a chip off the shelf.
Definitely.
Do you think it would? I mean, I don't know. I don't know much about it. I would have thought that's more expensive, but you get more control, obviously.
You get more control, which Apple is obviously famous for. Mm-hmm. And it does mean they can tie their software up a lot more with the hardware.
Yeah.
And as we're talking about control, it means they're in their own, you know, it's for them to sort out where they want to go speed-wise and technology-wise. Mm-hmm. Certainly all the first hands-on that are streaming through just now are saying it's really, really fast.
Yeah, so they've clocked it at a gigahertz. They said gigahertz, and they said
these speeds don't mean anything anymore. It's all about how the apps actually run.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, I think back to when I was a kid, but when I was at uni, and then a few years after, it was always about, you know, the speed told you, you know, how fast it was, and it's just immaterial now. Just feels pointless.
I think it would definitely feel a lot snappier than an iPhone, considering the fact the software is quite similar.
Yeah,
but it's got a much, much faster chip than an iPhone, so you'd expect it to be a lot more snappier.
Yeah. So, 1632, 64 gig of flash. For me, no surprise. For Chris and his 500 gig hard drive.
I
saw this as a media machine, and yeah. I'm shocked that you can't store your media on it.
Mm.
No, the bit I'm still surprised about, and nobody's really covered it in any of the blogs yet, but it's controlled by iTunes. It is just another iTunes controlled device.
Yeah.
So, you know, how do I get to files? How do I get to other things? And we'll come on to it again later on when we discuss it. But I was kind of disappointed in some ways that, yes, it's flash storage, and yes, it makes sense, but it's just another thing controlled via iTunes. And
you're just going to have that same issue you have currently with the iPhone, where you're constantly juggling with your music and your books and your movies.
Yeah.
I mean, 64 gig is quite a lot, but for, like Chris said, for something that's supposed to be, you know, like a media machine, it's a bit, you know, tiny, I think.
I think iTunes itself is just going to explode under its, well, implode under its own weight. It's going to have its own gravity field and just suck the life out of everyone.
So let's rattle through some of the actual other specs. So it's got 802.11n, Bluetooth, and I won't bother with the specs of that, accelerometer, compass, speaker, mic, dock connector.
Just imagine an iPhone.
Exactly. It is exactly the same as iPhone. So well done, Henry. I think he was repeatedly pointing that out, that we're going to get a big flat iPhone, and we did. I'll take the credit on 10 hours of battery life.
Indeed, yeah.
Lots of points.
I think I only managed 8, but I think in the real world I might be closer.
Yeah.
What was it in standby? The battery life is supposed to be about a week, was it? Or is it longer?
No, a month.
They said it could last a month, yeah.
Yeah, which is quite impressive.
Mm.
Which basically means their standby is actually off.
So
I guess if it's not going to be ready to receive a call or anything like that.
Of course, yeah.
Well, this is the thing. You know? And I mean, what I noticed, there seemed to be no mention of notifications or calls at all.
But I mean, if
there was no...
All the iPhone apps work on it, which a lot of them now support push notifications.
Yeah, but...
They didn't really mention anything around that.
Yeah,
so.
And that's what I mean. There's so much not covered in that hour and a half.
They didn't mention anything about data connectivity except for... Well, we'll come on to it, but... There will be some at some point in the future.
I mean, they mentioned Facebook, but one of the big features of Facebook now is push notifications. You think they would have at least said something on that?
So, as you've just mentioned with Facebook, it's going to run all the App Store apps.
I think that's multiple points in my basket.
And mine.
Ka-ching, ka-ching.
I thought everyone denied it. I thought everyone else said no way.
No, no.
I'm going to have to listen back to this just to check.
So it's running apps out the box, and you see it in a kind of black box type environment. If you just fire up the Facebook app, for example, there's a little x2 which fills the whole screen. And my gut feeling that was some of the textures that some of the developers have used are going to look really rough, you know, magnified up.
Yeah, I think they're going to as well. But why wouldn't you just start it at full screen and offer someone the option to shrink it rather than the other way around?
There are quite a few fussy people out there we want.
And I think you might find over time but maybe that's an option in the actual settings to say that when you launch it becomes that.
Mm.
And also the fact that, I mean, the SDKs come out today for iPhone 3.2, because it does run iPhone OS. So there's a lot of talk about it's going to be a different operating system or whatever. It's iPhone OS. It's 3.2 betas out today, but it's under an NDA. So I don't know how much we'll actually find out until that NDA is lifted.
But as we understand it, it's just the same. It's OS 3 enhanced, so obviously you should have some extra features in there.
And
but effectively, it's a subset of the OS 3 rather than a...
Yep. I'm already looking at some of the tweets from the Apple developers, and they're saying, well, you know, we can't really say what's in there, but it's got some stuff that we've all wanted for a long time, is one of the tweets I'm just reading just now.
So does that mean multitasking?
Well, there's no mention of multitasking.
No, they didn't mention it one time.
Alongside the lack of like any kind of comms and notifications that I noticed. So we then moved on to some demos. I thought the New York Times app looked really, really good from the photos and from the way it was described.
Yeah,
it's funny, I didn't.
Yeah, I just see it as like a Guardian app plus, and I really love the Guardian app.
Mm.
I thought it looked pretty boring, actually. I think some of the screenshots were better than others, but some of them
looked boring, but actually I think the idea of having like moving pictures or moving images embedded in there is a bit like Harry Potter newspapers.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think
that, I have to say it.
I guess we'll only truly know that when the video comes out later today or tomorrow, the actual keynote. Which I'll watch, because it's the only time you actually get to see properly what the demos are.
Yeah.
And it has to be said that seeing movement and how things transition, although it's sort of added extra and nice, it actually makes the device feel different.
Mm. Yeah,
I think
definitely.
You said you've watched the video now, the video demo, and actually it makes the device look different from flat screens.
Definitely. It looks quite a compelling product. But anyway, demos, brushes as well, was demoed in the pictures.
That was nice.
I'm not an artist, but I'm guessing somebody with a bit of talent, you know, you could really start to do some, you know, even just mock-ups of, you know, I'm just thinking if I was at work and I was trying to mock something up.
Yeah.
Very quickly, you could mock up a screen or mock up something. You
know, I think one thing that stood out in all the app demos they showed was these pop-up menus that just appear like, you know, in a sort of logical manner instead of having to go right to the top of the screen. So I think that could be quite useful in the future.
Definitely. And then it was, I guess, the biggest kind of software launch was iBooks. And the first thing I thought when I looked at iBooks was, it's Delicious Library.
It's
they've totally ripped off the look and feel of Delicious Library.
Mm-hmm. Is that where I've seen that before? I knew
so
that looked
Delicious
familiar.
Library was an app that came out in the Mac, and it is Mac only, and I used to love when I had a Windows machine, and there was other Windows apps I've tried to mimic the look, but they never have. And Delicious Library 2 came out, and to be honest, I thought it was a bit of a failed product. It's very buggy. Yeah. But the developer, I follow him on Twitter, and it's interesting because Apple actually have taken a couple of his employees over the years, and his tweet was, first Apple steal all my employees, now they copy my apps look. Because people were saying, are you getting, you know, any royalties or anything like that for this? And there's absolutely nothing. But again, seeing the screenshots and it looked nice, and reading people's comments, you know, you can tap right or left to change the page or drag the page manually, you can browse table of contents. It all looked, you know, quite nice.
Must have been in the video, the page transition looks quite slick.
Indeed. Mm. And the thing that was also nice was you've got your iBooks app up and running.
Yeah.
And you're on your bookshelf. If you click the top button, it then flips around. It's just little attentions to detail. You can see a thickness to the bookshelves as it flips around.
Yeah.
And you're in the store. And then you click the book you want. And you see the book animating onto your bookshelf. Click launch. And you're reading your book.
Mm.
And it does look really nice. Straight away, I was more thinking, you know, all my comics in there. And even some technical manuals. You know, if I had the dock and I had the technical manuals in it, and I'm just flipping through it, and I can do a search. You know.
So did it excite you then? Because again, it didn't. Again, maybe it's just watching in flat, you know, screenshots.
When I see the flat screenshots, I think, yeah, it looks nice. And when I watch the video, it's added another level, another dimension to my understanding of the product.
I think you'll but be like me up until the iBooks demo. Everything they'd showed so far was quite lackluster.
Yeah.
And I think when they showed iBooks, that was what sort of caught my attention. But then when you watch it in the video, it looks even better in moving images.
However you wrap it up, though, it's still books on a screen, which I've never, ever done before.
And that's absolutely true. But I use Comic Book Lover on the Mac, and I do read comics on it. I don't read books. You know, and that's maybe just me, because I'm not a big book reader.
Yeah, but you still buy comics, like, you know, hard copies, don't you?
Oh, definitely,
and I think you prefer reading them over Comic Book Lover.
But that's a size thing.
Yeah.
So if I've now got a 10-inch screen that I can take around the house or take anywhere and read my comics on, that's starting to become an option now. He says, justifying a purchase. Yeah.
No, I kind of agree. I think for me, I would still probably prefer to have a hard copy, but if I'm travelling, then that's a different story. I think that would be quite appealing.
Definitely.
I'm no expert on this, and I don't know what you guys think, but there's been a lot of people saying, you know, backlit screens are definitely not as easy to read on as e-ink screens, just because of the tiredness your eyes get from staring at a bright screen.
Yeah.
From some of the screenshots, it did look like it was going to be quite bright.
It's an LED screen.
Yep. All I can go on is, so a comic in Gizmodo, and this is just a first impression, so I guess they've had more hands-on than obviously us, and I've seen it and used it. iBooks, it's an optical illusion, but just seeing the depth of pages makes the iBook app feel more like a book than a Kindle ever did for me. Well, the text is sharp, and while the screen is bright, it doesn't seem to strain the eyes, but time will tell on that.
I think one thing I find with the likes of Kindle and other book readers, because, they've got e-ink, so they don't have any, like, backlit technology, so text might appear sharper. But what about in low light conditions? It doesn't have a light source, So surely you won't be able to read that in a, you know, like in a dark environment.
No, I think the idea is obviously you can read an e-book using e-ink wherever you would read a normal book.
Yeah.
And however you'd read it, whether that be a lamp or whatever.
Yeah.
I think the thing to add in that we haven't covered is it's using the EPUB format. So it's not its own proprietary format. It's actually using a format that already exists.
True. Yes.
Which everyone seemed to think is a good idea, although I don't know much about it myself.
Yeah. So... And just when we're finishing off the books, deals with HarperCollins Penguin, Simon & Schuster, Macmillan and Hachette, who I've never heard of. And again, very US focused, no mention of like UK and whether it's actually going to work in the UK or not. You know, with these book deals and what's actually going to be, is there going to be a store available in the UK, etc.
The UK and rest of the world was pretty invisible in this whole thing, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Very, very slight mention at the end, but that's about it.
Three new iWork applications, Pages, Keynote and Numbers, specifically designed for the iPad, $9.99 each.
Did anyone see that coming? I didn't see that coming.
Rumours of a touch version of iWork. So I was expecting like iWork, you know, this, you know, is it iWork 3 it would be onto? And I thought there would be some touch type stuff in it. Mm. But I didn't expect it to be specific apps written for it. Mm. I've stunned everybody into silence. I thought Skype had dropped.
So I guess they're using the additional functionality of 3.2, the SDK.
Yeah.
For the things like these in context menus that keep popping up and things like that. Yep. I think you'll see more of those. But I doubt very much these are going to be compatible with a phone.
Hmm. Oh, no, I don't think so. I think these have been written specifically for, the iPad. And just when we're talking about the Keynote, I think there was quite a lot of people were impressed with Pages and Keynote in the demo. And there's it'll easily connect up to a projector, you know, so the video out will connect up.
They didn't really cover what that video out or what is going
to
be.
Yeah, I'm just trying to look through because they've got the pages up now of just the device and stuff, and I'm just trying to see
what's the standard Mac connector for video out. Is it?
It's the DisplayPort.
Mini DisplayPort.
Just trying to see the inputs and outputs, dock connector, built-in speakers, 3.5mm headphone jack, microphone, SIM card. So
I think CNET was saying it was the mini DisplayPort. I'm not just. Not 100% on that, but I'm pretty sure that's what they said.
No, it's there is an iPad camera connection kit. So that goes into the dock connector. And I'm sure there'll be another dock connector that pumps out something.
Yeah.
Anyway, so as we've already said, it works with iTunes. And... it comes with Wi-Fi, but it's also going to have models that support 3G. So I think you had hinted at that, Chris, when we were doing a show at the weekend.
Mm.
I guess...
Yeah, I couldn't see it in anything other than that
I guess which model. Was a bit... Sorry, I'm talking over you.
Sorry.
All I was going to say is I guess what was a bit sucky is the pricing, 250 meg a month for $15. And if you're unlimited, it's $30 a month, but it's on AT&T, which seemingly got a ripple of like, yay, crap.
However, the difference being that it's only a month-by-month contract you pay in advance,
yes.
So which is a great idea. And I've called for this a long time, which is pay for what you want to use rather than a
Absolutely.
Monthly contract, which you don't use. So if you know you're going to be away from the office for lots, then have the option. And in fact, they said you can just turn this on and off whenever you like.
And that's what I really liked about it. If I'm going to be traveling down to Bristol and I know I'm going to be down for 2 or 3 weeks, mm-hmm. then it might make some sense to pay, you know, 15 quid for that month's, you know, connectivity or 20 quid.
I think that they can make that a lot better, but I don't see it happening. And that would be to buy a month's plan. But then... you could use it in chunks. So like, you know, whenever you turn it on, you use it, they'd knock it off your plan instead of like having you use it.
Yeah, within that's the ideal, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, definitely. So you could buy like a gig.
And exactly.
And if you only use like, you know, 100 meg a month and then the next month you use 500 meg, that's your kind of...
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. So nothing about international apart from the hope to do deals June, July timeframe.
Yeah.
But from what I understand, it is going to be available here in 60 days as well.
Yep, I think so.
But I just can't see that confirmed anywhere.
I think that would be the non-3G version, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and it's 90 days for the 3G version.
Yep.
But obviously, 90 days is end of April, and there's no international deals. So whether they hold something back,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether
they've said that the international deals June, July time, aren't they? So
yeah.
they're getting it sorted in America first.
Yeah, and it's absolutely. I mean, the UK App Store or UK app, iPhone Apple pages are still not being updated with anything. So
no. Yeah, it doesn't exist.
We shall wait and see. Then we're on to prices, really. Mm-hmm. Oh well, one thing to say is also it's an unlocked. You know, so it's not coming. It's a, as we're talking about, it's an unlocked sim, and you can crack on and do what you want. Prices. And this, I guess this was a surprise, $499 for 16 gig. Does that sound good or bad?
It's cheaper than I expected it to be. But
yep, starting out cheaper than I expected, for
and
sure.
I can see that converting to £399 if you're lucky.
Yeah.
But it could
I guess for me, cheaper than I expected as well.
Yep.
But I think the device isn't as groundbreaking as I expected.
No, and it's not really an, you know, like it won't be an impulsive buy, like, you know, at that sort of price point.
No, and the only other surprising thing is cheaper than an iPhone.
Yeah, which is kind of ridiculous. I guess it's hard to put things into a smaller area, you know. Yeah,
cheaper than your iPhone, you mean, Ian?
I feel that sting. We've already said 60 days for before it ships and 90 days for 3G. And then it's on to, and I guess this is a bit I was quite surprised at, there was three peripherals launched as well. The first is a dock, similar to the iPhone dock.
Which, it comes with that, I think.
I'm not sure if it does.
No,
or not.
I don't think it
does. Read on one of the things it definitely said it comes with a dock, but, you know, that it's all spur of the moment, isn't it? You never know what's right and wrong.
Yeah, let me just see if I can see it. I doubt I can. The second thing that was surprising was the keyboard dock.
Which I just completely didn't see happening.
Yeah.
Because you're left with a situation now where you put it on the keyboard dock, you have to reach forward, use your hands to navigate things and to do things.
Yes.
And then you've got the keyboard to type once you've got into the application. It just seems awkward and compromised. I'm really surprised it's happened.
Yeah. And I'm just looking through the design page. It actually supports a wireless keyboard as well.
Yeah, it does. I think Bluetooth ones as well.
Yeah.
Yep.
It'll work with an Apple iOS wireless keyboard. So if you've got the wireless keyboard, you can, I guess you can get the dock.
Yep.
If you can hook it up to your TV, I'm not sure why you'd want to, but then maybe having a keyboard for if you can web browse on it would be useful.
And through a range of accessories, iPad can output to TVs, projectors and displays.
Yeah. So maybe that makes more sense. If you've got your browser on your TV screen in your lounge, then having a keyboard makes more sense.
I think one thing we haven't mentioned is the virtual keyboard, which is quite large and it's quite nice as well to use.
Yeah. So I'm just looking at support for 1024 by 768 with dock connector to VGA adapter, 576p and 480p with Apple Composite AV cable.
That's very poor.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it just is. There's, you know, simple net tops can just about do better than that.
Yep. So.
Well, it is. That's, you can't use it as a media device for pumping stuff out to your TV, can you? Because what's the point? It's going to look rubbish.
Now, the other thing which I chuckled at when they announced it was they were talking about their case. And it's like, yeah, Apple. But I'm looking at the photo now and it's actually quite clever.
It's an easel case, isn't it?
Sorry, what was that?
An easel case.
Yes. And so it means you can use it to like stand it up and open it and it'll support it. Or you can actually fold it at different angles. So you can, I mean, if you go to apple.com/iPad/design, you'll see the three different ways that they've got it there, and it just makes for easier playback. You know, so if you're on a plane or you're in a hotel, I guess you can position it quite nicely with that case. You see, I'm justifying it in my head.
Are you though? I mean, what's your? I mean, I guess that's what we're coming on to now, which is what is your overall feeling about the device?
So, and I guess this is a bit where I left out the notes. It was the. I was looking at it and see when it got to 7:30 and I was like, what's, and I've written this down, where's the use case? Where's the magic? Because one of the blogs has started quoting Johnny Ive from his video talking about this is a magical device. And I'm sure when he does this, I'm sure he doesn't go to the toilet for like days, so he just appears constipated. It's just totally bad. And then I was like, why would I buy this? And there's things like, you know, they're showing you like, you know, they're showing you like the keynote and pages and stuff, but where's my files? Because it's all through iTunes. So is it relying on mobile me to access all my files and stuff like that?
But I think that's just be a sync, like you sync your music.
Yeah, I don't think
sync some files.
Go on, one of you's gone.
I've finished.
All right. I was just going to say, I don't think it's geared in that sort of direction where you're supposed to use it for like files and stuff.
It is because well, why would I pay for Keynote then and make up a presentation and hook it up to a projector? So I think there is a bit of it that,
you
know, if you've got Mobile Me and I've got the Mobile Me app, I can access up to 20 gig of data and it'll all be sitting there. And I'm assuming that these apps will save into that kind of environment because there's no point creating a file if I can't save it somewhere.
No, I think it'll save it locally in just on the gigabytes that you got on your drive. And you'll just sync it backwards and forwards from your computer. It's just having the app there is an option to.
Yeah, but iTunes doesn't work that way with files. You know, it's
but
all,
maybe they're adapting it so it does.
Yeah, and I guess that's the thing we'll find out over the coming days, you know, as people start to delve into it. And I saw a question elsewhere. Is there. So what Steve Jobs kicked off was saying Apple are the ones that can define this new platform. And it does sit between. You know, you've got a netbook, but a netbook's just a cheap laptop.
Anyway. Yeah, that device I picked out last week, which is a big laptop in a small form factor. And
But if, honestly, everybody gets excited about netbooks. It's just a small laptop. It's not a different form factor.
No, but I think it's a form factor that works, and I think this is a form factor that doesn't.
I think, I think there's a lot of people that don't really need a laptop, you know, like, but they don't mind something that's kind of light, not lightweight in terms of like weight, but like lightweight in terms of like software. And I think that's when, you know.
I tell you what this might be perfect for is the person who hasn't already bought an iPod Touch.
I was thinking that.
But wants a device like that.
Yeah, and I'm looking at it that I think this is not between like laptops and netbooks and try to fit in there. I think it's the difference between do I have a smartphone? Do I have a laptop? Is there something in between? Mm. Is there room for another device? So I'm being selfish. I'm thinking of me when I travel. I've got a work laptop, which is fairly locked down. I don't have any media on. It's not, and I use my iPhone. Ideally, see if I was traveling, I'd love to take my MacBook Pro with me instead and have my own laptop with my own things and my own media. I compromise with an iPhone, which has got a fairly small screen, but it's all readable and watchable. And I'll use it for TV catch up and all that good stuff, and it all works. But if I had just, you know, one of these and alongside my work laptop, you know, so I've got my work laptop sitting there and I've got that in the background playing some, you know, stuff that I've downloaded from iPlayer, or as streaming stuff from iPlayer, or TV catch ups on, or I'm reading some content, or I'm watching a movie, or I'm reading a comic or a book.
So you're having to take three devices wherever you go now. And that sort of ruins all the portability.
No, but I think that's
it?
The point, isn't it? If you didn't have an iPhone, if you had a normal mobile phone and you had a work laptop and you were going away, then this would be just perfect. I think it's for people who always wanted an iPhone or an iPod Touch but thought screen's too small. This is just ideal.
But as you're saying, you know, I guess the thing for me I'm quite pleased about is that I don't need to tie in with another contract.
Hmm.
I could pick one of these up, and fair enough, it's going to be £400, but I could pick one of these up and throw it in my bag when I'm travelling and use it around the house instead of a laptop.
You ain't throwing this anywhere. You're holding this with white gloves and keeping all the smudges off the screen. And
so what about
it every
like,
now and again.
Expectations for you guys that you had? Are you, you know, do you think it met your expectations? Are you disappointed or are you pleased?
For me, it's a big iPod Touch and I just don't see the point. I just don't see the point. Looks nice, and okay, you've got that kind of new gadget type feeling, but nothing on it. I don't want a bookstore. I've already got an iPhone to play my apps at native resolution. I don't need a productivity suite. Basically, it hasn't changed my mind. I'm going to get some sort of small form factor laptop, and it'll do much, much more because I can hook it up to my TV, stream all media around the network. I can have a higher resolution. It can output HD. So I just don't see the point.
No, for me,
I think the disappointing thing is I was looking for more from the software side. You know, so everybody was talking about an iTunes in the cloud and streaming and all that kind of good stuff, and there was very little around that. It is a big, I know they're talking about it's magical and all that. It is a big iPod Touch.
It's magical.
I think it's got a lot more capability for where the iPhone scores is the creativity of the community building apps.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
What's good about this is that you know that you're going to get that community building apps for this as well.
Something I've emphasised during the video right at the end, I said, you know, this is the start of a new goldmine for developers, because if you can develop for an iPhone, you're now developing for a 10-inch screen, and a lot more powerful. I mean, that gigahertz processor can do a lot more than what we've got inside our iPhones right now. So I do think you're going to see, you know, and there is an app store, and I do think this is the first. Everybody talked about, could there ever be an app store on an iMac, on a MacBook? You know, would developers be happy with that? And this is a test. You are going to see what I would say are, you know, fully fledged applications now, you know, desktop-y, you know, style applications available.
Yeah, but they're going to be coming with higher prices attached.
Yeah, but there you go. There's iWorks coming out for $10 each.
Yeah, but they're trying to prove a point with that and maybe even set the barrier. But there's a difference between picking up a little app that's cost 59p on your iPhone just because it's 59p than spending,
definitely,
you know, $10.
Definitely.
I feel down on it, and I feel disappointed by it. I think, you know, it looks nice, but I just...
See, I mean, probably disappointed. For me, disappointed would be too strong a word, because it's just a new product.
Yeah, that's... I mean, if you look at it like that, then fine, but it's... You know, we the community, built this thing up.
Yeah.
So it's our fault.
Yeah, but we always... It's just... I don't know.
They've just done less than the rumours.
Yeah.
I think I agree with, like, both of you. I think I was excited about it, and when the keynote started, I was kind of disappointed. And the only time I sort of perked up was when the iBooks app was mentioned. But overall, one thing I did not want was a giant iPhone, and it's exactly what it's turned out to be. Well, yeah, a little bit more than a giant iPhone, but...
Would it have ultimately been more successful, or say ultimately successful, and it's not even been released, but do you think having fully-fledged OS X on it, but with a layer over the top, which adds all this kind of compatibility with iPhone apps?
Well, either that or just so the iPhone OS, but enhanced, you know, in enhanced more than what they've already done. Because I did not want, like, a home screen with, like, tons of apps icons. I wanted, like, a new sort of user interface, which is, you know, like... So I agree with Ian that I'm disappointed from the sort of software side, I think, more than anything. I think hardware itself... I think it's fine as it is. It doesn't need to be any more powerful. Maybe a bit higher resolution would have been nicer, but for me, it's the software just isn't evolved enough over the iPhone.
I'm looking at the photos right now and just seeing, like, you know, the four icons spread across a really large page. It just feels a bit clunky, you know. And if that's, you know, I mean, I'm looking at the iPhone just now, and I can't remember if it's 11 or 12 pages allowed. I'm almost out of pages.
Yeah.
You know, I'm using all the pages, and I'm having to search all the time. And I'm looking at the dock at the bottom and seeing those four bloody icons, and it just feels such a waste.
I think in my mind, I had it like you'd have, like, you know, like the dock on OS X, something similar to that at the bottom of the screen, but you would have, you know, like the Microsoft Surface sort of desktop, how that appears. You have, like, things just sitting on screen and you can move them around freely.
Yeah.
I had sort of that sort of thing in my mind. I did not expect these bloody app icons just sitting there.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Another thing about this for me is that this doesn't bode well, or it doesn't seem to point to much innovation coming from the next iPhone either, and even OS 4 for the, you know, these devices. I think they've set their course, and I think we're going to be disappointed with that as well. Just because I don't think it's going to offer the revolution we really want. We want to see.
I blame other companies for that. I think if other companies had innovated a bit more, then Apple would be pushed to innovate even more. But I think they're just thinking, right, no one's really challenged us, so we don't need to change the game too much. You know, play it safe.
No one's challenged them, but I think a lot of people have caught up.
Yeah, I mean, I think if I look at the screens on the latest Android devices, I do think they are now ahead of what an iPhone is.
And an Android device can have any form factor that you want to give it as well.
So we're talking, I mean, there's a whole lot of Android tablets have been kicking around recently. And the only thing I will say is, if I compare it to the tablets that were kicking around CES, you know, a couple of weeks ago, it does look like a far more robust and far better designed product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because those tablets were all based on just the Windows operating system, weren't they?
Yeah.
So there's nothing exciting about the Windows operating system because we've seen it and used it and done it.
Can we
record that? But actually having a device
it
running it. Yeah. Endlessly remind me of it. So having... Go on, sorry.
No, I'm just going to say acid test. Chris, you're going to buy one.
No.
Shaquille, you're going to buy one.
I'm going to say no just now, but I think maybe if I held one in my hand, then I could be tempted. But again, it's the storage that puts me off, like 64 gig. That's the one I would probably go for. And depending on what price that comes at, I would imagine it'll be like 600 quid at least. And I will not pay that much money.
It's going to be more than 600 quid for the top.
Yeah.
With the 3G included.
No, I'm not worried about 3G. It'll probably just be the Wi-Fi one, 64 gig.
But... Really? So you're going to cripple it even more?
But that's the thing. It's like there's nothing to, you know, it's not going to be an impulsive buy for me. I would have to find a need for it.
If this had been a really cheap way into OS X so that I could start developing apps, I reckon I'd have done it.
There is a cheap way you can buy a MacBook.
Yeah.
But if this had been cheaper than that, what I'm saying.
So basically you're a cheapskate.
I guess.
Because I wouldn't buy the iMac because it's crippled as well, isn't it? It's compromised everywhere.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's a wish child. I guess what's also not, and as I said, but this is, we're doing this an hour and a half after the actual show, so who knows, but there was no mention whether iBooks is going to be available on other platforms as well. You know, so in the same way that iTunes is available everywhere, is iBooks going to be everywhere?
It certainly sounds like you can develop an app and simply port it between the two, doesn't it? Mm. I mean,
yeah,
I guess it depends which calls you put in.
Talking about the iBooks, you know,
the store and all things.
No, so iBooks app is a great new way to read and buy books, and that's what they mention, you know, on the pages just now.
My point of view, why wouldn't you put that onto the iPhone?
iBooks available in the US only.
That's probably a bit like the Amazon Kindle store, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah, it's all done on the deals, yeah.
Yep. And that's why when we're doing a show at the weekend, I think it's going to be a while before we can understand exactly what UK is going to get.
Well, if they're not talking about till June for the 3G data, that's probably the same kind of time they're looking to try and get the deals together.
Yeah, and I think we're not going to see this till later in the year. I read a tweet that said it was worldwide, and I just wonder if it's going to be worldwide, but you're not going to get iBooks here, you're not going to get any data deals here, and it just feels like you're getting a crippled product. He says negatively. Actually, I can see me using one. I can definitely see me being, you know, traveling, you know, with the amount of traveling I do. It being very handy.
I just look forward to my Mars bar.
But
and you, so you can see yourself using it, but you don't see the benefit of just having another type of tablet or small device.
It's the same way I feel about the first iPhone. I could see myself using it, but I just feel if I bought it, I would be compromised, and hence then I didn't buy it. Unlike my good friend Shaquille, who did buy it.
You have made up for it since then, haven't you, Ian?
I don't know what you mean.
No, I think you did the right thing, because I think iPhone didn't really come into its own until the 3G came out.
For me, I need 3G. I've not got a Wi-Fi option where I work, as you now know.
Yep.
You know, we don't have Wi-Fi, so 3G is the only way of getting data. And
I need 3G as well.
If I'd been sitting at work with the first gen iPhone, it would have been, you know, I'd been on edge, and it would have been rubbish for me. And it was no App Store.
That's true.
So,
yeah, the App Store was when it all changed.
Could you give up a laptop for an iPad?
No,
not a chance.
And that's the way I feel as well. So I'm looking at some Twitter feeds right now, and people saying, you know, there you go. I'm going to sell my MacBook Pro, or yep, I'm going to sell my MacBook and move to an iPad.
No, I mean, to be fair, I don't really use my MacBook for anything else other than browsing, checking emails and watching movies at the moment, but there are times when I do need it for other things, and I couldn't sort of give it up for the iPad. No.
And there you go.
That was a long 20 minutes, wasn't it?
I blame you. So, and I don't know if I answered the question, would I buy one or not? I think it's a no.
I think...
No, I really do think it's a no, but I could be swayed.
Yeah. You'll definitely go into the store, though, won't you, when it comes over here?
Oh, of course.
I mean it's a, you know, we're all gadget fiends here. It's a gadget. We'll go and see it. We'll like it. We'll love it. But
yeah, there's a big gadget part of me which does like it, mm-hmm. for sure.
It just doesn't have that. There's no compulsion for me at the moment, you know, other than I think the iBooks thing is quite interesting. I'd love to, you know, see that. And if they add comics to it, it'd be fantastic. But again, even with that, I don't know if I'd be willing to pay, you know, like £400, £500, £600 for it. And I think the problem is because the iPhone is so good. Yes, the screen is small, but it is so good and it does almost everything the iPad does. I think that's the main issue for me. It's like, why would I want something else that does almost the same thing?
Interesting days ahead.
Yeah, well, we'll hear the full specs, I'm sure, and the full capabilities of 3.2 and all sorts.
Definitely.
I just think if there was more compelling stuff, they would have told us about it tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And even the fact, I'm just looking at the price again, it's $500. If that turned into £300, you'd be like, yeah, that's a really good price.
For the cheapest model.
Yeah, no, but I still think that's a really good price for what you're getting. £300 for that, I think, is really good. But I don't think it'll be £300. I think it'll be near 400. Rip off Britain.
If it was £300, would you go and buy it?
No.
Exactly, because you're then looking at, you're thinking 300 is a good price, but then you're thinking, I don't want 16 gig, I want 64 gig or 32 gig. So I think that's when you start becoming greedy. You want more.
But I think it's, well, time will tell. Mm. Let's end the podcast. I think we've spun this out enough.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Yeah.
Cheers. And there we go.
Maybe they should make it into a sanitary pad.
You're just obsessed, man, with sanitary pads. That's all it is.
There's an app for that.